Kuzuzang Pula, I'm Sona Myeongjin. Welcome to the RIX podcast. In this conversation with Mr. Kamalote, president of Youngfell Adventure Travels, we will explore the company's journey in building a successful business centered around Bhutanese values and sustainability. As a trailblazer in the industry, Youngfell's core mandate of integrating the principles of cross-national happiness and sustainability into their practices is visionary. Through this approach, the company serves as an inspiring example of how businesses can thrive while staying deeply rooted in their cultural and environmental responsibilities. Mr. Kamalote is the president of Youngfell Adventure Travels and has represented Bhutan as the vice president of the SAARC Chamber of Commerce and Industry. He is a board director of the Youth Development Fund, chairman of Bhutan Insurance Limited, and chairman of Ice Beverages Private Limited. Additionally, he is the honorary consul of the Republic of Austria to the Kingdom of Bhutan. Kamalote, welcome to the RIX podcast. I'm happy to have you join us. Ever since you made a presentation to a group of individuals from the private sector here at RIX, I've been inspired to have you on our podcast so that a larger audience will be able to hear your ideas and your vision on sustainable business practices and maybe get to know more about Youngfell Adventure and Shuling Heritage. So thank you very much for taking time off your busy schedule. Both of us know how it has been a bit of a challenge to find time for the interview. So thank you for your time. And maybe I'll start off by asking you to share your experiences and your journey with Youngfell Adventure and Shuling Heritage towards becoming one of the leaders in Bhutan's tourism industry.
Sonam, good morning. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me on this podcast. I must say I was very humbled and privileged to have been invited to RIX to share our experiences in a session with the private sectors at RIXLA. That was not only a sharing my part, but I also learned a lot, and it was a very great experience for me. So as far as our Youngfell company is concerned, ever since back in 1988, it was founded by my chair, Ugin Rinzen. And of course, after 1990, when tourism got privatized, then we got into tourism business also and hospitality business. And after that, there was no looking back. We forged ahead and went into different spheres of hospitality, like opening hotels, organizing treks into the mountains, and then also organizing tours. There were not many good hotels those days, so we could not really organize luxury tours, unlike today. And back when we began itself, for us, our vision, mission, and you can call it a motto also, it was to be small, be humble, and work from there in taking care of those who work with us. We became very employee-centric right from the beginning, because people say finance is the background of the company. But for us, we always said human capital, employees are the backbone of our company. So that's why we engaged in training them well, giving them education, skilling them. And, you know, when you take care of your companies, the employees, in such a manner, to view them with inclusivity and compassion, you get so much out of them. And naturally, the company tends to progress forward. And in that sense, from there on, we organize so many treks into the mountains, so many cultural tours, so many hiking trips. And each guest that came into Bhutan was treated like a VIP by our employees, by our guides. So those days, with not much of a technology or social media, and the marketing aspects that we had, all we could depend on was how best you took care of your guests that came to the country. And then you progressed and improved on your business through the word of mouth of the guests that visited you. When they talked good about your company, talked to their friends, relatives, and all, then the businesses kept moving forwards.
Nice. That's an interesting journey, starting small, being humble and inclusive. And since we're now talking about building successful business by taking sustainability and the principles of GNH into account, I remember you mentioning in your presentation at RIX that Youngfell is trying to constantly trying to be innovative and has made sustainability as one of your goals. So if you could tell us what are some of the initiatives that Youngfell has taken to reduce your environmental impacts and how has that approach evolved over the years?
Plus, for those of us in business, and of course it's true of everybody that reside in Bhutan, I think the principles of GNH, the Gross National Happiness, founded by our fourth king, is a real good guideline for conducting business. You have the four pillars, the nine domains, 32 indices. Of course, not everything needs to be elaborated and incorporated in your business, but as you move on, some of those core values that are within the principles domains of GNH are very relevant to our businesses. So as we moved on with our business, as business progressed, we felt we should look into GNH in business and also side by side greening our businesses. Then back in 2010, we took a very bold step in incorporating our business. And we said after incorporating, then what we will do is we will look to GNH in business and also look into how best we can become sustainable. So on that aspect, what we did was, after we incorporated, then we brought in an expert from outside that would help us devise a standard operating procedure or terms of reference of how our businesses will be conducted. That will be in line with the principles of GNH and the principles of sustainability, which means taking care of environment, the community that you are in, the scenario that you are in, the employees, time used, all those aspects needed to come. So then from 2011, for a period of 3 years, we did a case. We did a project to move forward with the sustainability in business. And along with the advisor, we ended up doing lots of things like making priority areas that included business conduct, mainly our team, our people, how do we take care of our customers, how do we work with our suppliers and partners, how to engage ourselves with the community that we work in, and of course, really looking at the culture and tradition of our country, and then lastly, in a big way, the environment. So those are the big things that we thought we should take out from the Gross National Happiness principles and domains, and we termed this as GNH in business and sustainability in our program.
Yes. So what I feel is many companies, many businesses still view sustainability as an added cost, but Youngfell is a testament to the fact that it is a long-term investment. So as a leader in the business, how do you balance profitability and sustainability? Because at the end of the day, we must acknowledge that businesses are here to make profit. But how does Youngfell manage to strike a balance between making profit and at the same time operating in a sustainable manner?
That's a really good question, because as you embark on a journey of sustainability, and if you're really serious about it, then there's no easy road ahead. There needs to be commitment, and there needs to be consistency throughout your journey. If not, then you can go off track, and then you just start, and then if you fall off, then you could be seen as greenwashing in your business. There are many examples of such things across around the world, where people just do it for the sake of greening the business and sustainability, and which eventually becomes like a greenwashing. But for us, being in a country, a small country like Bhutan, and when you're in hospitality, we felt this is the right opportunity to embark on a program like this, and also see if we can sustain well on this spot, and then if we can also be an example to other hospitality partners and operators that could benchmark. And eventually, it's not only about Yeongfil Adventure Travel or Zhiwaling Hotel. Eventually, it is about the entire hotels in the country, entire tour operators in the country, the guides, and all the service providers. If we can benchmark the good practices from each other, we can all come together and take this wonderful initiative forward. So, some of the things that we ended doing, which made our journey a bit difficult in the beginning, was we both for Xueling as well as Yeongfil Adventure Travel. Some of the in small ways, what we did was we worked on the waste. I mean, how much recycling do you do? How much waste do you take to the landfill? And then how much water is consumed? How much energy is consumed? How much CO2 is emitted from the vehicles that you use? All those we started measuring to see how much a liter of water do you use in your offices, including how much do you flush down the toilet. So many details of that are being used. And even to this day, we still measure our waste generated. We measure our electricity that is used in the hotels and in the offices. So all those are important aspects of your journey to sustainability. Some of the very important investments, which was huge, we made was, for the first time, we put a sewage system at Zhiwaling Hotel Heritage in Paro, which costed us close to $250,000 back in 2012. But I must say, pertaining to your question, although the hard investment, difficult investment was there, we are reaping the benefits. There's no looking back. It was a very dynamic system, and all the switch, gray water, and everything was sort of purified through that. And we used the water in gardening the lawn and things like this. And then we also invested in the green road. As we approached the hotel, we worked with a local business partner who works in this thing, and we, instead of black topping with the tar and all that, we used the plastic to blacktop the road, the green road. We also took care of our initiative of investing in EV vehicles. Probably we were the hotel to invest in the EV vehicle for our general manager to use, because he has to drive around a lot. And to this day, we are now, because there are players and suppliers now buying EV buses that could be used for our to shuttle our staff back and forth from the hotel. And on the tours, we embarked on not using plastic at all. It is a very difficult process, but what we did was we take all those jars and we supply each guest with water bottles, the refillable water bottles, and we never use plastic water bottles on the journeys. So, like that, these are some of the examples that we are working towards sustainability of our business. And the bigger thing, of course, is about the employees. Employees are always first. We are employee centric. And when we do that, how do you do it? The easiest thing is try to work with your employees in a very professional manner, but with an aspect of compassion. When you do that, I think it's as if like you are within the family scenario within the office, and everything seemed to go well. The staff are motivated, they look forward to coming to the office, and then there's no looking back. Everything seemed to fall in place. And to your question, it is not only about hardship. Some of the benefits, long-term benefits you can reap from here is you become a sustainable business. For example, for Shivalik Heritage, we were recognized as the unique lodge, first 20 unique lodges in the world by National Geographic back in 2015. So these are attributed because of our efforts in GNH in business, and because of our efforts in greening the business, and because of our efforts in the sustainable journey. And likewise, I think there are many other institutions or tour operators abroad that are looking into DMC's destination management company like ours, and some others also that adopt sustainability and greening in businesses and all that, and those who are really into community-based tourism, ecotourism, and all. People like working with you on those fronts. So that's the reason why companies like National Geographic are still working with us. We are very happy to mention that we still handle their trips in Bhutan. So it's not only about hard ways, but definitely the rewards come also, but we need to have patience, and commitment.
Plus, it is very inspiring to know how Youngfell has embedded sustainability into every aspect of your operation, from waste management, electricity management, sustainable sewage, green, investing in EVs, and all the other initiatives, wonderful initiatives that you've just highlighted. And I think it is small efforts that will go a long way, and it is something every organization or companies can follow suit. And if I share a small example, even here at Rix, we did away with bottled water, and we now serve our filtered water to the visitors coming in. And I think, like I mentioned, it is small initiatives like this that will go a long way in making a huge difference. Now, segueing into our tourism policy, what are your thoughts on it, especially Bhutan's tourism policy post-pandemic?
Thus, I think at this stage, this is a very important and pertinent question for all of us that are involved in hospitality in Bhutan, the tourism sector in Bhutan. Bhutan has always, through the very wise and timeless policy from His Majesty the Fourth King back in 74, and of course, also championed by His Majesty the King now, is all about sustainability, happiness, community-based, high-value, low-volume tourism policy in the country. I believe most of us, I mean, actually all of us that work in the tourism industry, believe that this is a really good, timeless tourism policy. Now, you look around in the world, be it in Asia, among your neighbors, or be it in some of those really fancy tourism destinations in the world. Everywhere, I think they are suffering from mass tourism impact, the high impact of mass tourism. You don't have to look far. Even look at Mount Everest, people climbing there. There is mass tourism there. And whenever there is mass tourism, then there's always impacts on the environment, on their community, and all kinds of things. We always grapple with the questions of what kind of policy could be right for a country like Bhutan. I think the timeless policy of high value, low volume, or the timeless policy of, which can also be said, high value, low impact, is the right policy for our country. So at the moment, yes, there will be glitches, there will be hitches and all that, but I think we are on the right path, because a small country like Bhutan, with a population of just barely 800,000, we cannot afford to have millions and millions of tourists, just like some other neighboring countries have. Firstly, to begin with, our infrastructure has not come of age, not come to fruition at the moment. I think we are all working towards it. So as we develop and as we have more infrastructure, then we can have more people. One of the important things would be the seasonality of tourism in Bhutan. While Bhutan, there is a pent-up demand and becoming very popular, everyone wants to come more or less during the spring, during the fall season, and during the festival season. But what we have is we have an offer and products throughout the month, right from January all the way to December. You look at winter, how nice it is outside, clear blue skies. Temperature ranging from 18 to 22 degrees centigrade, very pleasant. Snow on mountaintops, and it's really pleasant to be here during the winter. And we all have some festivals. Summertime, a lot of birding opportunities. Everywhere you go, there's a very lush environment, lush forests, trees. And I mean, the very pleasant climate, not hot, but very cool and warm and all that. So we have things to offer during winter as well as summer, like just like spring and fall. So what we could probably do is the government is working hard on it. Now we have Department of Tourism, all the stakeholders, we can brainstorm, which is happening, join hands and see how best we can come up with various kinds of tourism products that will cater to lean shoulder seasons also. The other aspiration that I would have is just now all our tourists mostly come to so-called the golden triangle of Thimphu, Paro, and Punakha. So that then the central Bhutan and the east and all are a bit left out. We should definitely come up with incentivized programs and activities to be able to take tourists there. Yes, we are trying. The Jukair flights to Yanfula, East is now open through Samjib Zongkhar and all that. But can we do better to be equitable throughout the region? And if we are able to do that, then all the tourists will not crowd in the Golden Triangle of Thimphu, Paro, Punakha. We can spread out, and then we will be able to manage much more numbers within the country. Last thing I would say about trying to improve tourism within the country is we are just now doing the right thing by inviting all those journalists and bloggers and social media influencers that embrace our tourism policy, which is the right thing. We should keep doing that. And on the flip side, we should also now think about identifying travel fairs, marketing travel fairs, and all the right kind. The adequate luxury ones, mid-range ones, and all that, and not try and go to every travel fair that attract us. Be very selective about where we go. Because end of the day, our tourism policy is high value, low volume, or high value, low impact. And we need to cater to that. Other misinformation that we have about our tourism policy is about the sustainable development fee. Now it's $100 per per person per night. People think, my goodness, it's through the roof. But in our view, it is not, because they always used to be $65 for over 30 years. All we did was raised $35 to make it 100, because with the inflation and with all kinds of costs going up, that is, I thought, very doable. But what we needed was the messaging needs to be right. The messaging needs to be correct, right from Department of Tourism to every stakeholder. That is the hotels, the guides, the tour operators, all of us that are involved in tourism should have one common messaging that is in the right tone, as far as even these SDF and all are concerned. So I feel coming out of the pandemic, Bhutan is doing well. We have heard our Prime Minister say in 2026, next year, we will probably be back at the 2019 level with the right kind of messaging, right kind of marketing, right kind of initiatives, right kind of incentives that are being provided. All those put together, we should, I do believe in whatever Lynchen mentioned, that we can get to the 2019 levels in 2026. So there is a lot of pent-up demand for Bhutan. The silver lining there, the future is looking bright, and all of us stakeholders in hospitality should work together to make that our goal and work towards that, and all of us can be, moving forward in the right manner for hospitality and tourism in Bhutan.
It does sound like an exciting time for Bhutan's tourism industry, and especially with the GMC in picture, as you mentioned. So this brings me to my final question. If you have any advice to our aspiring Bhutanese entrepreneurs about building a business rooted in sustainability and the principles of GNH.
Thank you, La, for giving me that opportunity to have the last word. You brought up GMC. I think we are all very excited with that, La. With GMC coming up, we feel there will be a lot of tourism opportunities from there also to cater to, La. Because when there are people coming for GMC, they are coming to Bhutan. And they'll come to Paro, Thimphu, Punakha, Tongsa, Shemgang, Central Bhutan, and also proximity to the east from Gelefu. I think everybody, they're all looking forward to the initiatives of GMC. So we are very blessed that such a project is out there that we can look out to. As far as providing an advice to our fellow tour operators or hospitality operators, of course, the senior and experienced ones, they are all there. But especially for those that are going to begin or want to begin, we could probably say, begin small, begin humble, work with passion, work with integrity. I think that's very important, la. And also, one of the important things is we need to keep in mind the principles of GNH, and then aspects of sustainability. How do we drive the community vitality and evolving individuals and humanity at its best? It is very important that we protect our environment, we protect our culture and tradition. It is very important to embrace our tourism policy also, and also the initiatives that the government is taking. Because any initiative that anybody takes would normally be for the benefit of the citizens at large. So basically, even the Dubai sector that Duque has started, we all are very grateful for the government and Duque to have done that. All of us know Rome was not built in a day. So we need to have patience of some of the tourism products and some of the initiatives that are taken. which will eventually work la. And finally, I would like to really thank you, Sonam, yourself, and Riggs for giving me this opportunity to be on the podcast with you and share some of the experiences that I have through the journey of myself in the hospitality sector, la. Thank you so much, la.
So thank you very much for all your wonderful insights, and it has been a pleasure discussing these topics with you. So thank you very much for your time as well.
Thank you very much, la.